This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show number 117. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com. You can email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. And you can call us on 0208 816 7691. My name's David Hinchliffe. And as you can already tell, this week I am on my own on the show. Berners is still away. We're still to locate him, although we've been searching hard to track him down. We've had no luck this week, so we haven't been even able to get him on the phone. So it's going to be a slightly different show this week. We're still going to be answering your questions a little bit later on in the show, although I'll be doing that on my own. And we're going to have an extended interview with Paddy Sadler, who is a fast bowler for Watsonian Cricket Club. He also plays for Cambridge University, Cambridge MCCU, and he is Scotland under-19s captain. So he's an ambitious young bowler. He's looking to break into international cricket and perhaps even make it into the first-class game with a taste of playing some first-class cricket that he's already had this summer. So it's quite a long interview, so we'll get into that straight away. Stay tuned to the questions, and I'll be back later on in the show. So, for the uninitiated, who are you?
I'm Paddy Sadler. I opened the bowling for Watsonians and also captain Scotland under-19, and I'm at Cambridge University playing for the university and the MCCU.
And as we're talking, it's we've had about a month of the season, maybe a little bit more. So how has your season gone so far?
It's gone quite well. I've only played two games for the club because I'm based down south at the moment at uni. But I've been playing at uni. I played a first-class game for the MCCU against Surrey a few weeks ago. So it's been going well. Some pretty flat wickets down here, but it's been going quite well and looking forward to the main part of the summer, really.
A lot of bowlers in particular who will be listening to this want to know about rhythm and how you get yourself into rhythm, how long it takes and what you have to do to find that magic moment where everything's just working without you having to try. So how do you get into rhythm?
Well, I'm quite a rhythm bowler as well, so I think that's sort of something that's really important to the way I bowl. I've got a few sort of cues which I use. I think when I'm bowling well, my sort of the pace of my run up is sort of measured rather than too quickly. So I try to sort of start slow and build up. I think that's important to me to keep my stride pattern sort of quite methodical and quite regular. But I think also just bowling as well, like it's important when you are bowling well, when you've bowled sort of quite a few overs, that's when it sort of comes naturally, when you're kind of feeling good, confident. Just when you've got enough overs in and when you're doing everything right, it just kind of happens, like, I guess, but it's something you've got to work on and try and find each time.
How do you strike that balance? Because it's very important, especially when you're younger, to not bowl too many overs because there's the risk of injury. So how do you strike the balance between getting a lot of overs in and getting the rhythm and keeping yourself in check and not bowling too much?
I think it's quite an individual thing. You obviously feel in your own body when you want to train and when you know you're bowling well and maybe don't need to bowl as many overs in practice. So I guess it's a feel thing in terms of if you're feeling good, you might only bowl a few overs at practice and that'll be fine and you'll keep yourself fresh. But sometimes it's beneficial to kind of bowl those more overs and get some overs in your legs. But I think that's also a thing which coaches help you with a lot. I know sort of a lot of coaches I've worked with sort of growing up and now are very conscious about workload and managing workload and things like that. So I think in terms of number of overs, coaches will help you, but it's also a sort of a feel thing, what you feel like, whether you need to bowl more or whether you just want to save it.
There's a big debate as well in the cricket world. The traditionalists say the only thing you need to do to get fit to bowl is to bowl. And a more modern approach would be people saying, well, you need to get into the gym to get stronger and injury resistant. Where do you stand on that balance between the gym and getting overs under your belt?
I think it's a combination of the two. I think when I was younger, I had some back problems, which were based on the fact that I wasn't strong enough sort of gym-wise, like I hadn't done the correct gym work. And I just needed to learn about that sort of thing, basically. So I think over the last few years, I've done quite a lot of gym work and to sort of give you that stable base and to give you the strength in the areas that you need. But I think also bowling fitness is important because, all bowlers will know that once you bowl for the first time after a while, like different parts of your body hurt, maybe parts of your body that you don't use in the gym. It's a very specific action and you can't sort of replicate that in the gym. But I think it's important you need to have done the gym work to be strong enough to bowl sort of time after time after time. But also you need to bowl the overs as well. So I think it's a balance.
And presumably you're playing quite a lot in the season with all the different demands on your time in Scotland and club cricket and the MCCU and everything else. So how much time do you spend in the gym during the season?
Well, we have got a program which we're on at the moment, which is sort of one maintenance session a week minimum. Two, we'll fit a second session in a week if the fixtures in that week are sort of less demanding or there's less games in that week. But also the last few weeks I've had exams and exam preparation going on, so there's not been any fixtures down here at university, so I've used that opportunity to sort of do a more sustained, more intensive sort of few weeks in the gym to kind of set myself up for the rest of the season. But I think it's very dependent on how many games you've got on, because obviously if you're sort of playing 4 or 5 days a week, you maybe don't want to go to the gym on a day off because your body will be tired and you don't want to not be fresh when your games are playing. So I think you've got to fit in sort of as and when you can and when's appropriate, depending on what your schedule is. But it is important to keep going to the gym during the season, because I think in the last couple of years towards the end, I have experienced that it's easy to tail off and you do lose sort of strength and all the things that gives you in your bowl can lose that towards the end of the season if you don't maintain it properly. So it is important.
Let's talk a little bit about practice as well. In your personal experience, what type of practice works best for you to get you performing your best on the pitch?
I think in terms of in season, I like to maybe at the start of a session just sort of bowl off a few paces, work on just a few technical things, just kind of anything, just make sure my action's in good working order and that the things I'm doing at low intensity are good, because obviously then that carries over into when you're bowling off full intensity. I think it's sort of, again, it's a mix of whatever you want, whatever you feel like. It's definitely a feel thing in terms of if you're maybe feeling that you're falling over in your bowling action or something, you might kind of bring the intensity down and work specifically on that and then build it up. But if you're feeling quite good, then you might just bowl overs. I quite like just bowling almost not to a batsman as well, sort of just go out into the middle, sort of where it's nice and open rather than nets, where you can get your run up in, where you can kind of run in hard and just sort of mark out some areas and just keep hitting those areas time and time again. I think that's quite a good way to practice, just because it's probably the most realistic way when you can just focus on what you're doing, because obviously if there's batters in nets, batters might bat a bit different in nets or whatever, but if you kind of just take you and the ball and the wicket up and just go and practice bowling where you want to bowl it, that can be quite useful at times.
And how much of that would you do in it? I mean, it obviously varies depending on games and things like that, but how much of that would you do in a typical week?
I think, yeah, as you said, it kind of varies. But I mean, for example, if all I had on that week was a club match on the two Saturdays, then I think I'd probably try and do that maybe 2 or 3 times in between the week, just to kind of keep building up. I think I'd normally like to bowl, sort of best to bowl four days a week is probably the about optimum, I would say. That probably keeps you at your freshest and keeps you ticking over well. So, yeah, as you say, it just depends on how many games you've got and how many overs you've bowled in those games.
And you've already had a taste of first class cricket. You've played against professionals already. So what are your ambitions?
I just want to kind of take cricket as far as I can. I think working hard here, working hard when I go back up to Scotland, sort of trying to improve all the time and always be working hard when I'm playing cricket and training. I think, obviously, I think in the short term or in the sort of immediate future, I'd quite like to push on and maybe sort of stake a claim to play for the national side in Scotland. And then if I can get a game for them, a few games for them, try and sort of play well and work hard to maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the line be established in that side. I think that would be the kind of the aim, as I think it is for most guys. It's sort of my level, kind of under 19 Scotland. You kind of want to push on and play for the national side. So I guess that's my immediate aim.
And that's difficult to do, Scotland still being predominantly amateur. So how do you balance out cricket and the rest of life? Is that a challenge to you at the moment?
I think I've always kind of enjoyed it. I've always like enjoyed the balance in terms of sort of school and now university and cricket. I think the system down here, the MCCU system, is sort of really geared really well to balancing studies and balancing your cricket, like the coaches who are understanding, but also we kind of train maybe early mornings or sort of whenever it fits for guys. So that's quite nice in terms of balancing things. It's nice to have different things to think about as well. Sort of, it means you don't become too wrapped up in one thing or the other. So it's kind of quite a good balance to strike at the moment. I guess sort of when I graduate and when it becomes a little bit harder is when kind of there's a pressure to kind of go out and get a job or earn some money. I guess that's when it becomes more difficult if cricket isn't getting to the stage where I can play it full time. But I think at the moment the balance is quite good, and I think it helps me in terms of both my cricket and my studies to have the other one. They complement each other quite well.
Let's talk about a few tactical things now. I'm thinking specifically about being able to judge what kind of length you're going to bowl on a particular wicket. I think in particular you'll see quite a variation in standards of wickets because the amount of cricket you play. So how much do you have to think about varying your length depending on the type of pitch and the conditions?
I think you do. I think that is important. I think when you play on good wickets against good batters, you probably want to bowl sort of a yard further back than you would do maybe on a green seamer. But I think the thing is, it's a kind of thing you'll get to judge when you see the wicket and you'll see what you're doing off the wicket and what pace it's moving through and things like that. You kind of get a sort of sense of where you should be bowling. I think it's something that we talk about quite a lot as well. So in all the teams I play, like, the kind of bowling unit talks about what lengths we should be bowling and what plans we should be doing on different wickets. I think that kind of helps. But I think the key is sort of whatever length you are going to bowl, you just need to kind of focus on bowling that length, make sure that is the length you are bowling, and kind of really commit to that plan, like really try and hit that area time and time again and sort of work hard on doing the basics well, regardless of what length is appropriate to that pitch.
And do you work on variations as well, slower balls, Yorkers, that kind of thing?
That's something I've been working really hard on this summer so far. I think in the MCCU I've been playing especially one day cricket. I've been playing as somebody who bowls in the middle and bowls at the death, so kind of slower balls, Yorkers, that sort of thing. And we've got a little period of 2020 coming up this next couple of weeks, so it's been kind of, again, that's what we've been doing, the next sort of trying to work on those variations. And I think it's important in all one-day cricket to have that kind of ability to have sort of two or three sort of balls which you will go to, which are kind of your go-to options, and you're able to execute them, and you know you've practiced them, and you know you're able to use them effectively. I think it's very important, especially in the modern day, the way the game's going with sort of one-day cricket, with scores getting higher and pitches getting better and 2020s as well. It's very important that you do have the variation for if guys kind of take you off your legs. But I think as well, it's important that becomes a plan B a lot of the time as well. I think you've got to make sure that your plan A, sort of hitting top of off type thing, is very is very well drilled, and that's what you do first, and then you have to sort of kind of backup plan if required.
And how's that going? The variations, has that been quite easy to pick up, or have you found that a challenge?
I think I've always kind of I've always practiced them over the last couple of years, but I think just kind of I've always kind of had them. Sort of, I've been able to bowl them, but just maybe not as consistently as I would like. So I think what I've been working on really is consistency. Thinking about how I'm doing it, sort of working on the specific sort of skills that I need to think about when I'm like sort of implementing them. But I think I'm kind of enjoying the role as well. I think it's an enjoyable part of the innings to bowling when, sort of when in the death overs, when guys are coming at you and when every ball is kind of a little event and it's a challenge and stuff like that. But I think it's just kind of the most important thing for me, I think, is sort of clarity of plans and knowing what I'm trying to execute each delivery. I think in the past I've never been a bit kind of indecisive and not backed my sort of options enough. But I think the absolute key is that when you decide you're going to bowl something, you have to commit to it again 100% and just make sure that that's what you do and that's what you're going to sort of implement. So it's just knowing, deciding what you do, sort of thinking out batsmen, working out what you think they're going to do, sort of using a whole over as an event and kind of linking it all together and sort of working out what you're going to do and backing yourself to do it.
I was going to ask you about that, actually. The batsman who's going after you, and I can imagine the situation, you bowl, you maybe slightly overpitch something and it gets hit for a boundary early on in the over. How do you reset? How do you keep your head up and your focus for the rest of the over when something like that happens?
I think it's in the situation you described, it's probably relatively easy. And if you bowled a ball, which is, you know, is a poor ball, like if you bowled a pitch, if you bowled a half volley, that sort of thing, and it hit it for four, then that kind of plays with your mind a little bit less, I would say, because if you bowl a half volley, if you bowl a short ball, which is a bad ball, you kind of expect it to go for four almost. And like, you know that if you bowl, or you've still got the plan where you need to just kind of implement what you're trying to do a little bit better. But I think the challenge really comes sort of if in one day cricket you're bowling a good length, you're bowling a good line, and a guy, which a lot of guys are capable of doing now, kind of tries to hit you off that length, and that's when you kind of have to think about doing something different maybe, or that's when you have to work out whether you're going to stick to your guns and keep with your plan A or implement other options. But I think you would always try and stick with plan A for as long as possible, in terms of if a guy is hitting bad bowling, then that's kind of what you expect them to do. So you've kind of got to make sure that you're doing as well as you can and making it as hard for the batsman as possible. And it's when you're bowling well and they start to hit you, or they take on balls which maybe you wouldn't expect them to, that's when it becomes more of a challenge, I would say.
Are you much of a sledger if someone goes after you and puts one over the slips or something like that? Do you say much, or how do you deal with a batsman getting away with a few things?
To be honest, I'm not really a sledger. I tend to find that if I get involved in that sort of thing, that it kind of detracts away from what I'm doing, and I'm sort of have a tendency to kind of get carried away in that kind of situation and just not perform in the way that I can. So I guess I kind of try and leave that out as much as possible. I think one thing that I've tried to do is just, you've got to try and sort of stay, well, I personally have to try and stay sort of as calm or the same frame of mind, depending on what's happening, that you're always trying to do the same things and you're always trying to sort of do the best you can, depending on regardless of whether it's going well or going not so well. So I think for some guys, I think sledging comes a bit more naturally. It can fire them up, or kind of it really gets them going into a game. But to be honest, I like to just sort of get on with what I'm doing. And I think when I concentrate on what I'm doing and when I get into a rhythm of just doing what I'm doing, then that's when I'm more effective and that's when I bowl better. So
the pace that you bowl now, are you happy with, or is it something you're trying to get the rate up, get the speed gun up a bit?
I think if I want to push on to sort of play a higher level, I think I'm fully aware that I need to kind of develop an extra yard from somewhere, whether it be sort of through sort of refining my action and making my action more efficient, or whether it be getting stronger or more powerful or whatever. I think I do. That is something I need to work on, but it's not particularly something which bothers me in terms of I don't run in and try and bowl as fast as I can. I run in and try and bowl sort of as well as I can. Like, it's something that I consciously think about. But I think I do acknowledge as well that it is something, if I'm going to move on and if I'm going to improve and play at sort of a higher level, then I do need to kind of develop a yard of pace just to maybe hurry a few bats for a bit more. But I guess, I mean, that'll come, that'll either come or it won't come within time, working hard, kind of getting stronger and things like that.
So you do you find that maybe when you're bowling in rhythm, that's when you're bowling at your quickest, when you're not really thinking about it?
Definitely. I think I mentioned earlier, I'm a very much a rhythm bowler, and it's when my kind of my run up feels good, my action feels good, when I'm nice and strong, when I get to the crease, that's when I bowl. That's when I bowl probably my quickest, and that's probably when I bowl sort of the best areas and like get the ball to do the most as well. I think to kind of run in, to try and run in and as fast as you can, and to bowl as fast as you can and be kind of productive. I think it's more about kind of doing what you do and getting all the component parts of your action right, getting your rhythm right, and just giving yourself the best chance to sort of bowl as well as you can. I think if I'm in a good rhythm, then everything else kind of tends to click into place. I think a lot of times I've kind of got better as spells have gone on, sort of overs 3, 4, 5, 6 of a spell have been where I've really kind of got into a good rhythm, a good sort of way, and it's kind of when it sort of happens without me thinking about it type thing, that's when I definitely bowl my best.
One of the things you have to deal with as a young player with a bit of talent and playing in different sides is that you get exposure to a lot of advice, whether it's advice that you're seeking or advice that gets given to you, whether you like it or not. So how do you filter that? How do you deal with different advice from coming from different areas?
I think I've been quite lucky as I've been growing up in terms of I've always, at every stage of my development, I've always had sort of a coach who has sort of been in charge, whether it's been a regional coach or a national coach or whatever. I've always had someone who's kind of been in charge. And obviously you receive kind of advice from all different areas and whatever. I think I've always had someone that I've been able to bounce it off, someone that you trust and someone that kind of knows your game really well, sort of has seen you bowl a lot, has worked with you a lot, rather than kind of somebody who's maybe just seen you bowl in one game or one net session or that sort of thing. But I think, yeah, I think just talking to people and having somebody who you know, who you trust their opinion and you value their opinion type thing, that you can kind of bounce ideas off them, see whether they agree with what other people have said or whether they kind of have their own twist to it, that sort of thing. But I also think that it can be a positive thing to get advice from different areas as well. I think definitely a lot of people out there have got a lot of advice to give and a lot of things they can tell you which will help you improve. I think that if you kind of listen, decide what you want to take in, decide what you don't want to take in, maybe try something, see if it works, see if it doesn't, that sort of thing, then you can definitely get advice and take things on board from a sort of a whole host of different sources and different people. And like, definitely you should never close off your mind to receiving new things from new people, because it could be somebody tells you something which happens to be the thing which makes you improve. But I think you should always be careful as well of sort of blindly listening to someone. You just got to kind of think about it and maybe bounce it off someone else and see what they think, and then sort of come to a decision yourself.
Well, good luck for the rest of the season. We'll be keenly following you, especially when you're in yeah. Watsonian colours. And thank you very much for chatting to us today, Paddy Sadler.
No worries. Thanks, mate.
Time now for the question section, and don't forget you have a chance to win a prize yourself if you enter your own question and it gets answered on the show, and your question gets chosen as the winner for that week. You win a prize, which is a coaching course delivered online courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy, and you can find out more about that at pitchvision.com/academy. So because of the extended interview this week, we've only got time for one question. And that is from Jai Singh. Hello, Jai Singh. And it's a pretty simple question, which is, can a bowler deliver from behind the crease and even behind the umpire? Well, the simple answer to that is yes, he can. You can bowl from as far back as you like, because there's no rule on how far back you can bowl from. The one question mark over that area when you're bowling from so far back that the umpire can't see you is that the umpire has to be satisfied that your back foot is inside the line, and he can't be sure of that if he's seeing the ball sailing over his head. So probably the best thing you can do there is bowl from just about level with the umpire. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, if you were a fast bowler and you were trying to get every inch of pace out, you probably want to get right up close to the line. But if you're a spinner or you're a quicker bowler and you want to try a little bit of a variation to upset the batsman, then you can bowl from further back. Because, of course, if you bowl from a half a yard or a yard further back, then the batsman is going to be fooled by when the ball is arriving, because he's used to arriving at a certain point from a certain speed. You bowl the ball at the same speed, and all of a sudden it doesn't arrive at the same time, so he may end up hitting it in the air. It's a simple variation. It's a little bit like going around the wicket or going wide on the crease. It's just another angle for the batsman to deal with. In this case, it's a slightly further back angle than a wider angle or a straighter angle. So there's good reasons to use it occasionally. It's not something you want to be doing all the time, but if you're thinking about variations, especially in the shortest version of the game where you haven't really got much time to think about setting up batsmen, then you just want to sort of hope that one of your variations comes off, then give it a go. The only proviso I would give is that make sure that you practice it before you have a go at it in a game, because there's nothing worse than trying to get clever in a match, trying to bowl a ball from 23 yards, and the ball ends up as a rank long hop, and the batsman puts it onto the pavilion roof. So rather than being ashamed by that, and we all know bowlers who think they've got a clever variation, never practice it, and end up looking like an idiot when they bowl it the twice they do in a season, then you make sure you go into the nets and practice it. Not exclusively, but maybe bowl your five or six overs in the nets as you normally would, then switch to your variation, do your variation for a few balls, and then finally switch back to your normal line and length so you don't miss out on keeping your proper line and length, which is your stock in trade. Even if you're bowling in 2020, line and length is still important. So I'm not going to bang on too much this week, because even I get a little bit fed up of the sound of my own voice if I haven't got anyone else to talk to. So well done to Jai Singh. He is this week's winner of the competition. So Jai Singh, if he goes to pitchvision.com/academy and clicks on the coaching advert there, he can see which course he wants to choose from. You probably want to look at maybe one of the spin bowling courses if you're a spinner, or maybe if you're a faster bowler, you can choose one of the Ian Ponce courses, or maybe the Andy Caddick course. They're all delivered online, of course. That's the end of the show for this week, and don't forget, you've got your chance to win a online coaching course yourself, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy, and they're pretty good, even if I do say so myself. Some excellent names backing up the Pitch Vision Academy courses section. So you can send in your question to mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com anytime you like, and you can also call us. It's an answer phone, and you can leave your question on the answer phone anytime you like, and we will read it out on the show, or play it on the show. It's 0208 816 7691 if you're in Australia or in the USA. Then we have numbers for that as well, and those numbers are available in the show notes at pitchvision.com. You can also get us on Twitter. It's PV Cricket Coach. And if you go over to Facebook, if you're on Facebook, then if you do a search for Pitch Vision Academy, you can find us in there. Stick us a question on our wall, and I'm sure we'll find a moment to answer it, even if it's just via Pitch Vision Academy's Facebook page. And you never know, if you are lucky enough to have your question read out on the show, and it's chosen normally by Berners, then you are a winner of a Pitch Vision Academy online coaching course. So if we can track Berners down, he'll be back next week. So until then, we'll see you next time.